Hello and welcome today. This is Kevin Rockwell with Alternative Energy HQ, and today we have a special guest. We have the CEO of Principal Solar based in Texas. What city is it actually the headquarters in, Michael?
We're just north of Dallas in a town called Madison.
Okay. Michael Gorton is the CEO of Principal Solar, and he's joining us today to have an engaging conversation about the impacts that solar can have on job creation in America and in developing the industry so that solar becomes, shall we say, mainstream. It's close, but for a long time, solar has been sort of non-mainstream, and it's gaining some energy there, and so we want to talk about that. So first of all, thank you very much for joining us, Michael, for this discussion.
My pleasure.
And if you would, can you give me just a little quick rundown of your background and how you got into the solar industry?
Well, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I love building companies that change industries. And Principal Solar is company number 6 for me. But the only job that I ever had where I didn't start the company was working for Texas Utilities, which was then the largest electricity generation company in the country. And it grew later, after I left, to one of the largest power companies in the world. So, you know, I've just been building companies that have changed industries, and it looked like there was a great opportunity with solar to impact my old energy industry.
Oh, very good. And Principal Solar, you have an interesting business model, I think. Could you elaborate a little bit about how what you do and how you're growing?
Sure. The important thing to understand about what we are doing is we see two very distinct phases in the growth of Principal Solar. And it's based on what we call phase two, which Kevin, you and I will talk about it in more detail later. But the phase two is after grid parity. Now, just for those that aren't aware of the definition of grid parity, it is when solar can compete on the grid with traditional generation. So let me just elaborate on that just a little bit. On the grid means not on a rooftop, not in the backyard of some corporation, but out in the world where nuclear power plants and coal-generated facilities and natural gas. So the important thing to understand is we believe grid parity is coming, and it is a time period when solar can compete without subsidies with traditional generation. So that's phase two. But because we were a startup just 2 years ago, we said, let's build a business plan that makes Principal Solar the largest and best known solar power company in the country, and let's do it quickly. So today, phase one of our strategy is acquisitions. So we're out buying all of those small generation facilities that are in backyards. Now, no residential. We're not interested in that. But large-scale generation in the hundreds of kilowatts and tens of megawatts, we're doing an acquisition or roll-up strategy for them.
How many other businesses are pursuing a strategy like this, or are you in this area by yourselves?
Right now we're the only ones. I hope that some folks hear what we're doing and say, gee, I need to do that too, because we love competition.
Absolutely. Let me just ask this question. Maybe I'm off base here, but in California, there's a mandate that the major utilities have to buy a certain amount of renewable energy. And so the PG&Es and the Southern California Edisons are forced to buy a certain amount of their power from these type of operations you're talking about. Out in the desert, there's solar plants based out in the desert and in some of the high desert areas, and there's other renewables that are stretched around California that they're forced to buy from. And right now, there's analysts saying that they're actually costing the utilities and the ratepayers money because that energy comes in at a higher price than the traditional energy. And you know, there's the naysayers would say that that's causing pressure on the ratepayers for these utilities. Do you see that perhaps the day will come in the not too distant future where that will change, and that buying of those renewables on a state mandate will actually be cost effective for these utilities?
Yes. The key is to understand that the cost of solar has dropped exponentially year after year for 20 years. Now, it is true that those installations in the desert in California are costing the ratepayers more than traditional generation. But it is installations like that have taught the industry to become more efficient and have supported the industry while those exponential drops in cost have happened year after year. So look for probably 2015 to 2018, and it is a variable. We're not 100% certain, but sometime in that time frame, look for the cost of solar to be lower than traditional generation.
Then I would imagine we would see almost a very rapid expansion of production facilities once that efficiency is achieved. Is the money out there in the market to roll out in that way if efficiencies can be reduced to that to close that margin?
Well, I think the good news is that most of our traditional generating power plants, the coal, nuclear, and natural gas, are relatively old, and there are going to be significant replacements to those traditional power plants as we go into the late teens and early 2020s. So there'll be a lot of opportunity for new solar, but of course, solar does have an Achilles heel. I personally don't think that it'll ever represent more than about 20% of our grid power, simply because you can only generate when the sun is up. Of course, that's the bad news. The good news is we use the most electricity when the sun is up. So the schools are turning on and the factories are turning on and people are cooking dinner and turning the air conditioners on traditionally when the sun is up. And so that's when almost every grid has the largest requirements in power. And so solar supports that quite well. But again, I think solar will probably never be more than 20% of the total grid.
But yet, with the input being free, the energy that's coming into it being free, that would seem to be an important 20% of our energy budget, I guess you would say, or energy input in the future.
You're 100% right, Kevin. When I talk to school kids and I want them to understand the engineering fundamentals of solar, this is what I say. Solar panels are essentially a rock that turns sunlight into electricity. There are no moving parts, and the fuel is free. So, you know, hydroelectric generation, the fuel is free. As long as it's been raining or snowing in the mountains and there's melting, then hydropower is generating electricity. As long as the sun comes up, solar generates electricity, but the difference between hydro and solar is hydro has significant moving parts. Like solar, you have to build a large facility. In the case of hydro, it's a dam. In the case of solar, it's a fairly large generation facility. But the great thing is that no moving parts.
It's a big deal, I think.
Right.
And it would appear that with some of the new technologies that are coming out of R&D and even that are already on the market, that is even getting stronger and stronger. I just posted today about some research out of UCLA where they were doing tandem layer solar cells and some of the efficiency increases that they've been able to get out of that. And you know, that's still in the research, and there's plenty of other technology that's actually coming onto market with higher efficiencies and higher rates of for the layperson, transforming that free solar energy into electricity that goes into the grid. And I mean, there's been tremendous price declines in the solar technology just in the last 2 years. You were talking about exponential over the last 20, but just the declines in the last 2 years alone would seem to put a bit of a rosy forecast on the development of larger scale solar development.
Well, nobody expected the kind of price drops that we saw this year. And by some calculations, it's as much as mid 30% drop. It's typically, when I've said exponential drops, I'm talking about somewhere in the 7 to 12, 13% range. But when you start seeing numbers like 34%, like what some calculations show we saw in 2011, it certainly moved the bar forward dramatically. And I think, you know, for the futurists and the people that really want to think about the impact in the future, consider this. When we get to grid parity, let's assume that it's worst case 2017. What that means is the cost of solar panels now are such that it can compete with natural gas out on the grid. So let's assume that happens in 2017. What happens in 2018 or 2019? And I frankly don't see anything that is going to halt the exponential drops, at least for some point, time into the future. And therefore, you know, when we're looking at, and just to understand the metric right now, 2 years ago when we started Principal Solar, the cost of solar panels was about $2 a watt. This year, it's about 90 cents a watt, and you can find it even cheaper, as low as 85 cents a watt. So 2 years ago, $2 a watt. Now, 95 cents a watt. And my prediction is that, again, this is a rock, and we're learning how to manufacture more and more efficiently every year. My prediction is that we're going to get down to, you know, let's be dramatic here, a nickel a watt. Grid parity is probably somewhere in the 65 to 70 cent range. So think about it this way. Now, solar is cheaper than natural gas. And I pick natural gas because I think as we look into the future and say, what power plants will we build, I think nuclear is more or less off the table, although we are going to build some. But nuclear is already more expensive than solar. And coal, I think, is also off the table because of the environmental issues. Natural gas, we have ample supplies here in the United States, and the delivery is relatively inexpensive, and the cost of natural gas is relatively inexpensive. So we'll see a lot of natural gas power generation, but when solar gets to the point where it is cheaper than natural gas, everybody will want it as their primary source during the daylight hours when the sun's up.
So if we could go into a bit of the economics and the jobs element of this discussion, let me start off by saying, you know, there's been the Solyndra issue has been out there. It's been bandied around in politics in back east, and then of recent, some of the nuclear folks have been using it against the solar industry. But it's an anomaly. Let's just face it. The Solyndra deal was an anomaly, but And you know, there was a mess up in there, but it's really small potatoes when you consider the whole scheme of things in terms of developing solar energy for our country. Can you talk to me about what you've seen and what you're seeing in terms of what the solar industry is doing to help our country in terms of the economy, job creation, and what that job creation means for our future?
Well, first of all, let me comment on the industry trend, which I believe caused Solyndra in the first place, And, you know, if you look at any other industry that is new and growing, and, you know, I like to take the computer or IT industry as an example. If you look at it and think back to the late 70s and early 80s when PCs and computers really started being manufactured on a regular basis, think about the giants back then. They were DEC, Sperry, UNIVAC. They're all gone, all of them. And, you know, but is the computer industry still thriving and surviving? Absolutely it is. And so what I would suggest to you is that Solyndra is no more than another, you know, maybe not even, couldn't even be compared to a UNIVAC or a DEC. But certainly when you see industries that are transforming as rapidly as solar is right now, there will be corporations that are fatalities. Now, so I think here's the bad news about manufacturing of solar panels. Today, they are very labor intensive, and it's not likely that in the near future we will be able to compete with the lower labor costs in India or China. And so I think the bad news is, it, you know, if you want to see manufacturing jobs in the United States from solar, then you're not going to see them if we want this trend of exponential price drops to continue. So that's the bad news. But here's the good news. Electricity is an essential component of everything we do, from a manufacturing, construction, to our daily lives. And so to the extent that we are buying panels abroad in China and bringing them to the United States and generating cheap electricity that's clean, I think there will be a lot of jobs created as we build these solar generation facilities and as we maintain them. But as they come on the grid in the 2015 to 2017 timeframe, and they're producing electricity that competes with or beats natural gas, then you're going to see cheaper electricity in this country, and that will have a huge impact on manufacturing and quality of life.
How much do you think residential solar contributes, I mean, not in terms of percentage of the power generated, but in terms of public perception, public acceptance of this technology? Like I put solar on my roof and I acknowledge that it's not going to, you know, change the world, but it means that, you know, I'm contributing a little, I'm talking about it, you know, other people know about it, you know, that sort of thing. How valuable is the, you know, the residential solar to developing this broader scale, larger scale generation?
Again, you know, I have an opinion that's a little bit different from most people in this sector, but here's my analogy. We don't grow wheat, and I'm saying wheat like the thing you make bread with, right? Not the thing that hippies smoke. But we don't grow wheat in our backyard. But consider this. Wheat is grown by farmers who harvest it every year and sell it to a co-op, who sells it to a transportation company, who sells it to a middleman, who sells it to a flour grinding company, who sells it to a bread baking company, who sells it to another middleman, who sells it to a grocery store, who sells it the bread to us. And that is cheaper than me growing wheat in my backyard. And it's also more consistent. You know, if I were to have a bad crop as a citizen farmer, I may not have any bread. But, you know, generally speaking, the consistency across the Midwest is such that there's always going to be plenty of wheat and always good bread to buy at the grocery store. But you know, when I went through all of those steps just a second ago, it's sort of amazing to realize that it's cheaper. All of those steps are cheaper than me growing it in my backyard. and more consistent. And I submit to you that the power industry is even more so that way, because electricity on my roof is complicated. As an engineer, I have a relative understanding of it, but you know, my next door neighbor is not an engineer, and I'll bet most of the people on my street are not. And so, you know, when I wake up in the morning and I flip that light switch, the lights almost always come on. You know, and in my lifetime, there have only been a few times when that didn't happen. It was it was because of extreme storms, and the power company, love them or hate them, they got that electricity back on pretty quick, even in the most dire or extreme storms. So I think that rooftop solar is a wonderful thing, and like you, I'd love to have it, but I don't think that once we get to grid parity, I don't think that it will be able to compete with large generating companies putting solar in the desert.
Now, this concept of grid parity, do you think that once we achieve it and get close to it, that suddenly the major oil companies or other traditional power generation type of companies are going to suddenly embrace it as though they invented it? Do you see them swooping in on it once it comes to that point? Or, I mean, oil companies now are sort of, many of them are touting themselves as developing technologies, et cetera. But, it's got to, compared to their core business, it's a very, very small part.
Well, trust me, there are some very smart, forward-thinking oil and gas exploration and traditional energy companies. Now, I readily admit that not all of them are there. And, you know, when we get to grid parity, I think a lot of them will jump on it. But, you know, all you have to do is look at my board of directors to see that, you know, one of the best known oil and traditional, you know, natural gas exploration companies in the country has joined the board of my company. And if you look at some of the other folks, you know, they've built gigawatts of nuclear and coal and natural gas generation. So I can tell you for a fact that there are some places where they are looking at it. And to quote the gentleman from Hunt Energy, who has joined my board, he has said, energy is energy. And if we're a smart company, we're looking at it all. And, they've given their endorsement by joining our board, right?
Absolutely. Well, it would seem that with that sort of perspective and with folks like that, you know, sort of cluing in to things that you're doing and other companies like yours are doing, it would seem to me that the closer we get to grid parity, that the development of solar will take on a life of its own that will be devoid of the politics and the rhetoric that seems to get thrown around a lot now, you know, or in the last 10 years especially. But even now with this whole Solyndra business, it would seem that maybe we can escape some of that political rhetoric and just get down to this is what we need to do. And it makes perfect financial sense and for the companies that are doing it.
Well, you know, I think you put your finger on a critical issue, and it's truly unfortunate that one political party has adopted solar and really brought it to this point, and the other political party has, at least, you know, from what we read, and I don't think this is entirely true, but from what we read in the general press, has poo-pooed the whole industry. But the fact of the matter is, I think that as it starts making sense from a capitalist perspective, it won't be a political issue anymore. And again, I think we're going to be there in a couple of years.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, if you go back 100 years or more in the financial industry, you know, and it's certainly true today, you know, making money is making money, no matter who's in power or what. If you can, if a banker can make money, then they'll find a way to do it. And in this business, if there's a way to make energy that's efficient and beneficial to the company, then it's going to turn, then it'll get built, and then the public will see the benefit to that by reduced environmental damages, by cheaper power, et cetera. At least that's. You know, that's what we're kind of talking about, I think.
Right. I'll give you another analogy. We just did a white paper on the new types of automobiles. So natural gas, obviously, is a consideration, and electric vehicles are another one, along with hybrids. But in the course of researching and writing that paper, I saw a lot of commentary in the late 1800s and early 1900s about, you know, this new automobile and comparing it to horses. And people were saying, you know, we've been using horses for 20,000 years, and it's not likely that the automobile will ever replace the horse. We'll always have it. And, you know, and so look around.
Yeah. We now go on vacations to ride on horses for a lot of us, and obviously we're completely dependent on the automobile.
Right. But the vast majority of the population at the turn of the last century thought, you know, the automobile was just a little novelty, and the horse was mainstream. And you know, I submit to you the same thing is happening right now in solar.
If you could, before we close here, I want to let you go, and I appreciate your time. Could you talk a little bit about the numbers in terms of employment in the solar industry and kind of what you see as a projection of that growth?
Well, here's what we in the United States are good at. We are good at research. I think we still own the industry's silicon production. But I think the manufacturing is going to stay probably in China. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't say this a little while ago, but if you compare what we invested in Solyndra, we, the American public, be it the taxpayer or the financial industry, it was what, $1.6 or $1.7 billion. The Chinese in less than half of that time period. So our Solyndra investment was what, over almost 3 years. In the last 16 months, the Chinese have invested $30 billion in that same sector. So, you know, I don't think we're going to be able to compete with that. Again, my prediction is there will be a lot of solar generation companies that are building small plants, but companies like mine will come in and roll those up, and we'll see what is now the small solar power the smaller builder owner operators will become larger and larger and larger, and the biggest impact that solar will have will be cheap clean energy in the United States. I don't think that it'll be hundreds of thousands of jobs. I think that it'll tangentially produce hundreds of thousands of jobs because of the cheaper electricity.
From your perspective in the industry, obviously the price has dropped considerably. Do you have any concerns about the Chinese taking over the manufacturing end of this market?
No, I don't, because, you know, at the end of the day, they are building facilities that if they're not selling for less than or equal to grid parity, they won't have buyers. We'll use natural gas because we've got plenty of it. If they're building panels that are at or below grid parity, we will buy it because it will make economic sense. So, once we buy those panels from them, we're done. As I said, it's a rock that turns sunlight into electricity. There's no moving parts. The things, you know, we don't even know how long they last, but they're willing to give 25-year warranties on their parts because there's no moving parts. So, you know, I think that I've been to China a few times, and they do business different than we do. And you know, we have to be a little bit more careful than some of the business that we do in the United States. But I've made some good friends over there, and you know, they're pretty good businessmen. You know, it's kind of funny for me because I'm old enough to remember Mao Zedong being in power, and to go to China and have people that I consider to be friends over there lecturing me about capitalism. You know, it's kind of interesting. They say, now you guys used to be the greatest capitalism in the world, and now we're becoming that. So you need to get busy, and so you can compete with us. So I think that's kind of funny, and I like it.
Absolutely. Well, and I happen to think there's a certain irony in that, you know, 10 years ago, people would point to, you know, anybody who wanted to say that solar and some of these other alternative energy options would help. They would always point and say, well, there's always going to be China, you know, polluting the heck out of the world with their dirty power, you know, generations and their massive amount of people. And so there's a certain irony that, you know, now they've invested this huge amount into solar, and, you know, they do still have dirty coal-fired power plants, but they're, you know, making this major, you know, contribution to the development of solar now. And it seems kind of an ironic twist.
Well, I think, you know, you asked me a question about jobs, and I think the Chinese government and the capitalists that are investing in solar in China see a lot of jobs because, as I mentioned, right now the manufacturing process is very manual, lots of hands-on, and so you see campuses, huge, you know, half-mile square campuses of manufacturing facilities specifically for one solar power company, and lots of people earn their monthly wages from those facilities. So the Chinese government and the capitalists in China have recognized this, and so I think they consider it to be a good investment. And the only reason why it's not a huge issue, no matter how you look at the Chinese, is because when you buy those parts and have them installed, you don't have to have the relationship anymore. I'm not saying we won't. I think we will. I'm hoping that, you know, this is the beginning of a better and more fundamental trade agreement between the United States and China. That's me hoping and not really knowing anything. But again, I've made friends over there, and generally they're good people, just like people in the U.S. are good people.
Michael Gordon, CEO of Principal Solar, thank you very much for joining us today at Alternative Energy HQ and sharing your perspectives on the solar industry development. And I look forward to maybe chatting with you again as we follow along in the development of this grid parity.
Okay, Kevin. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Okay, bye.